Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur and even better order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We continue with issues concerning the Ben Soru Moreh at the top of Ayin Aleph. Eino nase Ben Soru Moreh ad shiyochal bosor v'yishte yayin. The Mishnah told us that he does not become a Ben Soru Moreh until he eats meat and drinks wine. Tanu Rabbonan, we see a Tanaic source. As all of those of you who are familiar with the marking system, Tanaic sources appear in frames, as you can see here. Ochal kol maichol, Tanu Rabbonan, the Tanaic source says, Ochal kol maichol velo ochal bosar. If the Ben Soru Moreh ate any other food but did not eat meat, Shasa kol mashke velo shasa yayin, he drank any other beverage other than wine, Eino nase Ben Soru Moreh ad sheyochal bosar v'yishte yayin. He does not become a Ben Soru Moreh until he consumes meat and drinks wine. Shenemar zoleil v'sovei. Those are the words that appear in the Torah. Even though there is no direct proof that those words mean exclusively meat and wine, nevertheless, there is a reference that they can refer to meat and wine. Shenemar al tihi besovei yayin bezolele boser lamo. The words sovei and zolele are dashed underlined. Those are the main points of focus, and they're associated, as you can see, with the yayin and bosar. The omer, and the posuk following it says, ki sovei v'zoleil ivoresh ukraim talbish numa. The people who are involved with sovei and zoleil will eventually become impoverished, and their clothing of those who seek out numa, sleep, or which is a form of pleasure, will be torn. Omar Rabbi Zeira, kol hayoshen bebeis hamedrash, anyone who sleeps in a beis medrash, a place that's designated for Torah study, nasis lo kroim kroim, toroso nasis lo kroim kroim, his Torah learning itself becomes tattered, which Rashi means is that he doesn't remember all that he learns. Rather, a little bit here and a little bit there is all that he will retain. Shenemar, and the Gemara now quotes the pasuk we just saw at the end of the Tanaic source above, Ukroim talbish numa. Numa is, as we said before, one who seeks sleep. His talbish, he will wear kroim, torn clothing. In this case, his learning is torn up, so to speak. The Mishnah. Gonav, Mishel Oviv, V'ochal Birshus Oviv. You can see there already starts a numbering system, a series of numbers 1 through 3. These are situations in which the Ben Soru Moreh will in fact not become, not be condemned as a Ben Soru Moreh until he gets to what we have labeled here the fourth situation, the fourth scenario. Gonav Mishel Oviv V'ochal Birshus Oviv. He stole money in order to buy meat and wine from his father, and he ate the food in the domain of his father. Mishel Achirim, he stole others' money, V'ochal Birshus Achirim, and ate in someone else's domain. Mishel Achirim V'ochal Birshus Oviv. Or if he stole money belonging to others and ate in his father's domain, Eino Nase Ben Soru Moreh. How ad sheyignoiv Mishel Oviv V'yochal Birshus Achirim, until he steals from his father and eats in someone else's domain. Rabbi Yossi Rabbiuda Omer, ad sheyignoiv Mishel Oviv U'Mishel Imo. He is not condemned until he steals that which belongs to both his mother and father. The Gemara now goes over these different scenarios and why they are exempt from becoming ben sora mora. The topic heading that we assign to this sugya is found in the margin under the heading Nosei, topic. Hesber lomo mischayev rak im gonav mishalov v'ochal b'shus achem. The Gemara will now explain why there is no condemnation unless he steals from his father and eats the meat, drinks the wine in someone else's domain. Gonav mishel aviv v'ochal b'shus aviv. That was case number one in the Mishnah, hence we have a parallel number one in our Gemara. And we said that he does not become a ben sora mora that way. The theme behind ben sora mora is a situation where what he's practicing now will be something he will continue to do in the future. And that depends on different factors. For example, accessibility, ease of access to the funds, lack of fear of where he is eating. If all those elements are in place, so then he will continue doing what he's doing. Looking at this case, though, the Gemara points out, Af agav de shchiach lei, even though the funds are easy access to him, because we said he steals from his father, and he is around his father, hence he has easy access to those funds. Nevertheless, bois means he is fearful. He wouldn't continue doing this because he's afraid of his father, that he might be caught by his father. Situation number two, Michel Acherim v'ochal b'rishus Acherim, if he stole funds belonging to outsiders and ate outside his home, Afalgav de Lobois, even though there is no fear factor over here, because we're dealing with his eating in the domain of others, nevertheless, Lo Shchiach Lei, it's not so easy for him to have access to the funds belonging to other people. He's not around them all the time. The Kol Shekein, and certainly the case where he is stealing Mishel Acher, V'ochal Birshus Aviv, and he eats in his father's domain, the Lo Shchiach Lei, Ubois, you've got the two negative factors. The funds in question here are not of easy access to him, and he is afraid that his father will spot him, will catch him. Ad Shiyignoiv Mishel Aviv, V'ochal Birshus Acherim. This was the last scenario in which he will become a ben sora mora, because on the one hand, the shchiach lei, he has easy access to it, and the lo bois, and he, since he's eating in the domain of others, he has nothing to fear. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shiyignov mishel aviv u'mishel imoi. Rabbi Yossi adds that there is no chiyuv until he steals from that which belongs to his mother as well. The Gemara asks, that where do you have a situation where something belongs to his mother? We have a rule that which a woman, a married woman, acquires belongs to her husband. Imoi mino law, from where does she have that which belongs to her, as the Mishnah seems to indicate, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Ma shekonsa isha kono baila. That which the woman acquires is said to be owned by the husband. So, to answer this, we have a couple approaches in the Gemara, and they're indicated by the numbering that you see, one in a diamond, and a few lines later, a number two. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mi Seudo Hamuchenes Le'oviv Uli'imoi. He steals from prepared food that was designated for his mother and father. The Gemara asks, this can't possibly be the pshat, the explanation of the Mishnah, because V'omar Rebbe Chonon bar Moldom Rav Huna Eino Chayav Ad Shiyikne Boser Bezoil V'yochal Yayin Bezoil V'yishte. The guilt of a Ben Sora Mora is not arrived at until he steals money and buys with it meat at a cheap rate and wine at a cheap rate. We've dashed underline the expression sheyikne, that he goes out and buys. Hence the explanation of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina that he stole prepared food belonging to his mother and father would not fit into the scheme of things. Elo emo, the corrected version, though, of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is, he stole from money that was set aside, midmei suda hamuchenes loviv ulimo, money that was designated for his mother and father's meal. Meal money is what he stole. The Rashi on the upper part of the page explains a little bit further, on the upper part of the narrow lines, midmei suda hamuchenes, shohayu maos muchanim, there was money that was prepared, liknois mehem suda, to buy with those funds a meal, la'oviv uli'imoi. Dekevon de lekach nizdamnu, since the money was designated for their meal, Michel Imoi Karinan Behu. It's considered belonging to his mother. De Ihi Nami Shaicha Bahem Midina. The mother has legal rights to those monies on her own merit. The Bailo Chayav Bemazonasa, because a husband is obligated to provide food for his wife. Hence, that money that's designated for the wife's in this case, the mother's su'udo meal is said to be hers. Continuing in the Gemara, v'iboyesema, you might prefer to say the following. The akni lo acher. Some outsider granted her some money. V'omar lo, and upon giving her the money, he declared, I'm giving you this money al menas she'en lebaleich rishus bahem, on condition that your husband has no rights to it, to those monies. In such a case, the husband is locked out of those funds, and we can consider those monies Michel Imoy. Hoya oviv roitze v'imoy eino roitze. The Mishnah describes a case where the parents are not in agreement with regard to presenting their son to the Beis Din for prosecution. So the father may want, the mother doesn't want, or Oviv Eino Roitza V'Imoi Roitza, or the other way around. Eino Nasi Bensor Mora Ach Yu Shneim Rotzim. He does not become a Bensor Mora until both parents are in agreement. In agreement to take him to court. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Im lo yhoise imoy ru'uyo le'oviv, eino inase ben sor mora. If the mother is not fitting for the father, then the child does not become a ben sor mora. The Gemara wants to understand, what does that mean that the mother is not ru'uya? My eino ru'uya. In order to understand this, the Gemara goes through a couple of stages. We've indicated that with lettering, Aleph, over the E Lema, and the next line you see Beis. E Lema, Chayve Krisus, V'chayve Misus Bezdin. If one is to think that the father and mother are forbidden to be with one another based on the severe level of prohibition, for example, Chayve Krisus, an example of brother and sister marrying each other and producing offspring, or chayve misos beisdin, those kinds of forbidden relationships, adulterous relationships, which would result in a court death penalty. These are relationships where there is no tefisas kedushin, where the marriage institution does not take hold legally. Maybe that's what it means. So the Gemara rejects that, though. Self, avua, avua, ninhu. Ime ninhu. Even if the child that's born is illegitimate, nevertheless, the father is his father and the mother is his mother. Rashi points out in the pasuk referring to the ben sor mora, there is no reference to the marital bond that exists between the mother and father. Hence, even if there's no legal marital bond between them because they are prohibited to one another, that nevertheless does not preclude their offspring from becoming a ben sor mora. Ella, what does the Mishnah mean if the mother was not ru'uya la'aviv? It means b'shove la'aviv ko'amar, that she is the equal of the father. And this will be explained momentarily. Tanya Nami Hachi, a Tanaic source, supports this interpretation, and in the source we will understand what it means to be equal to the father. The source says, Rabbi Omer, Im lo hoisa imoy shover l'aviv, if the mother was not the equal or the same as the father, b'koil, in terms of voice, uvamara appearance, uvakoima and height, eino nasa ben soromora. Rabbi Yehuda describes a situation that is very, very unlikely to be in reality, but he is saying it all the same, that unless the mother and the father are practically identical, there is no chance of their son becoming a ben sor more. My time, what's the basis of this understanding? Diyamar Kro, the Pasuk says, Einenu shomea bekolenu. He doesn't listen to our voice. The word kolenu is spelled in an unusual way. Rashi says that since it's spelled as we see it here in the Gemara, and it doesn't say kolosenu or kolenu with a yud after the lamed. The word kolenu has a connotation of a singular voice. And so they are declaring in the pasuk, the parents are saying about their son, as is told by the verses, says he, the boy, doesn't listen to our singular voice. So the Gemara says, "Mi dekoil bo'inon shovin," from the fact that, as far as voices are concerned, the Torah is requiring them to be equal. Mare v'koimo nami bo'inon shovin. Appearance and height are also required to be equal. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, one of our series markers. We also have a title to the upcoming Gemara. As you scan down the page, you'll notice several diamonds in the text, and also a numbering system to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, 1, 2, and 3 in diamonds. This is explained in our note in the outside margin, Nose Mivne, the topic heading and structural note. The diamond is featured, Chipus Deois. We're going to be looking for sources or opinions that concerning the following three topics, Sheben Soru Mora, Ir Hanidachas, Bias Menuga, the wayward son. The Ir HaNidachas is the city of idolatry, and the house afflicted with negoyim, discoloration of walls, Lohoyu Ve'enon Asidim Lios. And we've also introduced a double underline, which is one of our series indicators, under this expression as well, that these three things that were just enumerated never really were, and they will never be in the future. The reason for saying this is that the requirements to have, the requirements for a Ben Sor Mora, as we just saw, and the idolatrous city, which is a situation where a city is involved in idol worship and the inhabitants are condemned to be killed by the sword and all of its contents destroyed. And if for some reason we cannot meet one of the requirements, so then the law will not take hold. And likewise with the Bayis HaMenuga, the requirements necessary to establish a house as being a house that contains Negoyim, and hence to be destroyed, given the necessary requirements and situations, these are very unlikely to take place, according to specific opinions. All of this will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. Keman, the Gemara now asks, Keman Azlo Hodesanya, like whom will the following source appear to follow? Ben Sor More Lo Hoyo Velo Osid Lios. The phenomenon of a wayward son, as described by the Torah, never was and will not be in the future. Veloma Nichtav, why would the Torah write a section that doesn't seem to have any practical application? The answer is Droish v'kabel schar. It's there to be studied and to receive reward for pure Torah study, even without having a practical application. Come on, who would say such a thing? Answer, K'Rebbe Yehuda. This would conform to Rebbe Yehuda's description of the circumstances necessary to create a Ben Sor Moreh. We saw him just a few lines up. And if you take advantage of the arrow that appears in the space in the immediate right-hand side of the corner, it'll make it a little easier to find the line on which Rebbe Yehuda appeared. He required the mother to be identical to the father. Wherever do you have a situation like that? Hence, Rebbe Yehuda would be the author of such a source that would say about them. And so, Mor lo hoyev lo osid lios. Ibo yesema, another possible author of such a comment is Rebbe Shimon hi, Desanya. It would be Rebbe Shimon as is featured in the following source. Omar Rebbe Shimon, v'chi mipnei shochazeh, tartemar bosar v'shosachatzi lu gyanu italki. Do you think that because the boy ate this measure of meat and a half lug of italki wine, obivimo mosi no yisoy lesoklo, that his mother and father would take him out to be stoned? Very unlikely. Ella lo hoya velo osid liois. It never was, and it will never come to be. Veloma nichtav. Trosh v'kabel sachar. To learn and receive reward. Omar Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan disagrees. Ani ro'isiv. I saw a ben sor moreh v'yoshavti al kivro, and I sat on his grave. In other words, according to Rabbi Yonasan, such a thing, such a situation did arise. Keman azla hodesanya, like whom would the following go? Ir hanidachas lo hoysa v'lo osid v'lo asid aliyos. The condemnation of a city as idolatrous never was and never will be. V'lo manichtava droish v'kabel schar. It was written in order to receive reward for the study of that topic. Keman, who would have said such a thing? K'Rebbe Eliezer. Desanya, the source features Rebbe Eliezer's opinion concerning his requirements for an ir hanidachas. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, kol ir sheyesh bo afilu mezuzah achas eino nasis ir hanidachas. Any city that has in it even a singular mezuzah cannot become condemned as an ir hanidachas. My taima, why is it that if there is a mezuzah in town, it cannot be condemned? Omar Kro, the pasuk says concerning the ir hanidachas, the eskol shlola tikvoitz el toich rechava v'sarafta bo'esh. You shall gather together all of the possessions of that town into the town square and burn it. V'kevon di'i iko mezuzah. And since, if there was a mezuzah in town, lo efshar, it would be impossible to fulfill this requirement, dichtiv, as the pasuk says, lo sasun kein l'ashem elokechem. Don't do thusly to the Lord your God. In other words, to idols we burn those items associated with them. And the Torah says, do not do that to those things associated with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And being that the mezuzah contains God's name and is a section written in holiness and is therefore forbidden to be burnt, therefore, since I cannot fulfill this requirement of kol shalot tikboitz el toch rechovo v'sraf the beish, therefore the whole procedure comes to a halt and a city cannot be declared as an ir hanidachas. We see another opinion though. Omar Rabbi Yonasan, ani ra'isiyo, I saw an ir hanidachas v'yoshavti al tila, and I sat on its ruins. Keman az loho desanya. The question the Gemara is asking is just like we saw before, like whom would the following source conform? Bayis Hamenuga, the afflicted house, afflicted with discoloration, as is characteristic of the Parshas Negoyim, as is featured in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Mitzayra. Lo hoyav lo osid lios, it never was and it never will be. V'loma nichtav, droish v'kabel sachar. And why was it written? In order for one to study the topic and receive reward. Come on, who would have said that? Who would portray the Bayis Hamenuga as being something very unlikely to ever happen? Rebbe Elozer, Rabbi Shimon, Desnan, Rebbe Elozer, Rabbi Shimon, Oimer, Lo'olam ein habayis metame, that a house cannot be declared as impure, as tome, ad shigire kishtei grisin, until the nega, this discoloration, appears with this size, two grease in size, al shtei avonim, it has to appear on two stones that form the walls of the house, b'shtei k'solim, on two walls, b'keren zovis, the two walls in the corner of the house, orkoi kishnei grease, and the length of the discoloration would have a length of two grease, v'rochboi kigrease, and the width of it would be the size of a grease. Grease is a type of bean. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the only time a bias would be cleared as a bias hamenuga would be if you had the discoloration appearing in the corner, of a house with a continuous form with this length and width as just described. My time order, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, based on what does he require the corner of the house? Answer, k'siv kir u'k'siv kirois. The pasuk makes a reference to the wall in a singular and in a plural. Eisehu kir shehu kikiros. Which singular wall is like a wall in the plural? Heve omer ze keren zavis. That would be a corner where there's a sense of continuity, creating the singular, the kir, and it in fact is two walls that are coming together. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. Omar Rebbe Elozer Eliezer Rebbe Tzadok, Mokom Hoya Betchum Azo. There was an area in the environs of Azo, the Hoyu Koyun Oisoi Churbisa Sigirta, and it was called by that term. Churbisa Sigirta, Rashi says, Churba Mitzoyra. Rashi goes on to explain that Mitargaminon Sigirta, that the targum of Mitzora is Sigirta, Shenoitates Misham Bayis Hamanuga, that was a place that the stones of the destroyed house, because of its Negoim, were placed. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, the phenomenon of Bote Menuga did take place, and their stones, the stones of those houses upon their destruction, were placed in this particular area. Amar Rabbi Shimon ish kfar akoi pam achas halachti l'Galil. I was once going to the Galilee region, v'ra'isi mokom she mitzaynin oisai, and I saw a place that was marked off so as to prevent people from overshadowing it. The Omru, and they said that the area that was marked off was a place of Avonim Menugois Pinu Lusham, that they removed the stones from the afflicted houses to that place. It can be noted that Negoyim of this nature are Mitame Bo'ohel. There's Tumas Oyel, so as to prevent people from overshadowing it, they marked off the place so that people would not become impure. Hoyo echod mehem. If one of the parents of the ben Soromora was a gideim, a cut off hand, oi chiger or lame, oi ilam or mute, o sumo or blind, o cherish or deaf, eno nasa ben Soromora. He cannot become a ben Soromora. Shenemar, the pasuk says. And before we go on in the Mishnah itself, let's glance at the side where we've written in psukim dvarim perik chof aleph pasuk yutes. And after that, pasuk chof. The psukim say, "V'tofsu boy oviv v'imoi." They shall grab him, the son. V'otzio oso el ziknei iroi ve'al shar makomo, and they shall take him out to the basin, to the court that's located at the gate of the community. V'omru el ziknei iroi, and pasuk chof says, and they shall tell the elders. B'neinu ze sarer more. This son of ours is wayward. Einenu shomea b'kolenu zolel v'soveh. He does not heed our voice. He is engaged in the eating of meat and the drinking of wine. The Mishnah, in the meantime, said that if one of the parents has one of these defects, the son does not become a ben soro morish. Shnemar v'tofsu boy ovi v'imoy. The pasuk saying they grab their son. Grabbing cannot be done by someone lacking an arm. V'lo gidmin, and hence not one who is a gidame. The hotziu oso, they shall take him out. In other words, they walk with him. V'lo chigrin, and not a parent who's lame. The omru, and they shall say v'lo ilmin, and that would preclude mutes. B'neinu zeh, which is an expression indicating they're pointing out, they're looking and pointing at him, v'lo sumin, and not blind individuals who cannot look and point out. Einenu shomea b'kolenu, the pasuk says, he doesn't listen to our voice, v'lo chershin, and not, this would exclude deaf parents. In other words, Rashi, he explains, let us take a look at Rashi inside, chershin. This Rashi is found on the section commenting on the Mishnah. Einon Yoidin, the parents who are mute or are deaf, do not know im kibel divrayim im lav, if the boy heeded their warnings or not. Shim omar lohem, if the boy said to them, eini mekabel, I don't care what you say, I don't accept your chastisement. Well, einon shemin lo, they don't hear his response. And even though they may see that he continues his misbehavior, the pasuk says that he does not hear our voice. And we have to seek out the merits of the defendant, the midrash, and to explain the pasuk, the bishas hakul ko'amri, the lo shoma, that he, the son, is not listening to them as they speak. In other words, not waiting for the later event of them seeing him continue his misbehavior, but immediate awareness that he is not listening to their chastising. This particular pasuk is totally extra, as the Gemara itself indicates, and by being that it seems to be totally extraneous, that gives us license to darshan it. And the only way that the parents could know that immediately upon their warning him is if they hear him respond that he doesn't intend to listen to them. But of course, if they are deaf, they cannot hear his rejection. Continuing in the Mishnah, Masrin boy b'fnei shloisha umalkin oisoi. He is warned in front of three, which is a somewhat odd situation of needing to be warned in front of three. The Gemara will explain this section of the Mishnah. Nevertheless, it says he's warned in front of three, and if he doesn't heed their warning, umalkin oso, he is lashed. Chozar v'kilkel, if after being lashed he continues with the stealing and buying of meat and wine, nidon be'esrin u'shlosha. In other words, we have a scenario where he's done this act three times before he's condemned to death. The first time, which arouses their opposition, and that brings on their warning, and then if he doesn't listen and does it a second time, he will get lashed. And if after lashing he eats a third time, then he will be subject to the death penalty. V'einoi niskal achiu sham shloisha harishonim. And there's no stoning until you have three of the original judges there, those judges that were party to the malkos, to the lashings. Shneimar b'neinu zeh. The pasuk which says b'neinu zeh indicates zehu shelokah b'fneichem. This is the one that was lashed in front of you. Hence, a necessity of having the original judges. The Gemara asks: should we conclude from the way we read the pasuk? We read it in a rather literal fashion. The pasuk that said v'tafsu bo ovav imo v'otziu oso, etc. That the parents have to have the characteristics that enable the literal execution of this pasuk to be carried out. This approach to verses insisting on their literal meaning. Of course, in legal matters, and we're not talking here about literal meaning with regard to every single verse in the Torah, but this insistence on kra kidichtiv, reading the pasuk and understanding it in its literal sense, should this be concluded from our Mishnah? And Rashi points out, if we would conclude that, this would support the opinion of Shmuel that was reflected earlier in this Masechta, on Daf Mem Hei, Amud Beis, where Shmuel appeared saying that we require the understanding of the Psukim Kidichtiv as it is written. So the Gemara says, no, I'm not going to come to a general conclusion on this topic. Shaini Hacha, this particular case is different. The Kule Kra Yaserahu, this entire Pasuk that we read is of an extraneous nature, and that's what leads us to this particular approach and darshaning it in its literal way. The Rashi at the top says that the Torah could have simply written v'hotseisim oisoi el shar ho'ir hahu uskaltam. Then the parents take the boy out to the court located at the gate of the city, and he'd be stoned. But it didn't say it that way. More words were added, and these were added in order to indicate the literal approach, but only in this case. Umasrin b'fnei shloisha. We said there was a warning in front of three. The Gemara asks, Lomali, why does the warning have to take place in front of three? Betray Sagi, it would have been enough to have warned him in front of two. Omar Abaye, hochi ko'omar. Masrin boy b'fnei shnayim. His warning is done. The parents warn him in front of two, because we need witnesses, and in the Torah, two witnesses are required. So we need witnesses that he received a warning and then violated that warning. Umalkin oisei b'fnei shloisha, and the lashing is done in the presence of three, because in order to carry out the lashing punishment, you need to have three judges. Malkos b'nesur mura heichuk siva. Where in the Torah is there a reference to the wayward son receiving lashes? The answer to that will be provided by that which Rabbi Avol says in a different context. But the gist of what he says is through a multiple gezerah shava, a word linkage that connects eventually the topic of b'nesur mura with the Pasuk that indicates lashing is given. So without getting into the details, we understand that what he says has to do with a series of word linkages. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Lomadnu V'Yisru, Mi V'Yisru, we learn the word, the meaning of the word V'Yisru in the context of Motzi Shemra from the word V'Yisru that appears in Ben Soro Mora. V'Yisru Mi Ben, the word V'Yisru appears together with the word Ben in the same parsha of Ben So More. So now I see a connection between V'Yisru and the word Ben, and the word Ben, Uben Mi Ben, notice we have a connector, V'Hoyo Im Bin Hakois Horosha. The word Ben by Motzi Shemra, by Ben Soro More, is linked to the word Ben in the pasuk that features lashes, and that's why we've dashed, underlined the word Hakois, to hit. And that's a reference to the lashing. So, since in the parsha of Motzi of Ben Somora you see V'Yisru, and through the word linkage, we conclude that V'Yisru means lashing. Chozar v'kilkel nidoin be'esrim b'shloisha. If after the lashing he continues his misbehavior, he's stoned by a court of 23. The Mishnah went on to say that in the court of 23, there must be original judges located, the original judges that were part of the, that served as the basin for the lashing. And that was learned from the Pasuk Beneinu Zeh. The Gemara asks, but that very Pasuk, Hi, mi boyale ze veloy sumin. We needed it to serve to exclude blind, a parent that is blind. As we indicated, the word zeh means the ability to point out. Im kain, the Gemara responds, if the posuk of Beneinu Zeh was to teach only that which the Mishnah said here, that you have to have original judges, the three originals as part of the 23, lichtoiv, the posuk could have just as well written Beneinu Hu. My Beneinu Zeh, by the choice of this wording, what is accomplished? Shma mino tarti, I'm able to learn both halochas, the ability to point out, in other words, sighted parents, and also that I need to have original judges as part of the 23. The Mishnah continues, the new Mishnah, Borach ad shelo nigmar dino, the Ben Soro Mora escaped the hands of justice before his case was concluded, the acharkach ikif zokon hatachton, and in the interim he reached the age whereby he could no longer be declared a Ben Soro Mora because the hairs surrounded his organ. That being the case, he is exempt, even though prior to the Hekif Zokonach Tachton he was engaged in this theft and eating of the meat and drinking of the wine. Nevertheless, since a Gmar Din was not achieved, he is now going to be exempt, because if he were to do it now, he would not be a bar katla, he would not be subject to the death penalty. However, v'im mishenigmar dino borach, if however he was condemned before hikiv zokanat tachtoim, and after the condemnation he managed to escape, v'acharkach hikiv zokanat tachtoim, after he escaped, only then did this happen, where the hairs grew in, chayov, and he is still going to be guilty and punished. And the reason for that is that at the point of the Gemar Din, he is viewed as a dead man. In other words, once his legal case is concluded, that's it. Then even though he managed to escape technically the carrying out of the death penalty, that does not nevertheless create exemption. Before going into the Gemara itself, let us glance at the topic heading associated with this Gemara, the Nosei. Dinoi shel Rabbi Chanina. We will be focusing on Rabbi Chanina's law. Ben Noach Shebirei Hashem, a Noahide, a Gentile who curses God, and that's something that carries with it a death penalty. V'achakach hizgayer, and afterwards he converted. Potter, he will be exempt. Ho'il v'nishtane dinoi v'nishtanis misoso, because the court standards changed and the death penalty changed. So as a result of all of these changes, the Torah, well, according to Rabbi Chanina, provides an exemption for the Ben Noach. As we go on in the Gemara itself, we will be noticing triangles in different positions. This is explained by the Mivneh, the structural note. With the triangle pointing up, we will be in a support mode for Rabbi Chanina's teaching, Siyuah al Rabbi Chanina. And with the triangle inverted, Kushios al Rabbi Chanina. Those will represent questions, challenges to Rabbi Chanina. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Ben Noach Shebirech Es Hashem, V'achakach Nisgayer, a Noahide that cursed the Almighty and then converted to Judaism, Potter, he will be exempt. Hoyel V'nishtane Dino, V'nishtanes Misoso, since Dino changed, Dino is a reference to how court procedure was going to take place as a heathen and how it would take place as a Jew. For example, as a pre-converted individual, he would have been judged by a singular witness, and a singular judge, and other peculiarities to the pre-converted individual. And now, as a converted individual, he is judged only if there are two witnesses, and only by a court of 23, and only if there would be a hasra'a beforehand, a warning beforehand. Nishtanis Misaso also indicates that as a Ben Noach, he would have been subject to sayef, to death by the sword. All the Misos Ben Noach are death by the sword, according to the majority opinion. Masha'enkein, as a converted individual, there kicks in four different types of death penalty that could be given. And when dealing with the issue of Birkas Hashem, there's a stoning death penalty for that offense. So since the Misasu also changed, Rabbi Hanina comes to the conclusion that he is now exempt. He's almost like a new individual in this sense. Nemo Misaye Alei. Let us offer the following as a support to Rabbi Hanina's approach to halacha. Once again, Rabbi Hanina says when there is a dramatic change from the time of commission of offense and the time at which he is being prosecuted, so there is exemption that is a possibility. The source says, concerning the Ben Soromor, our Mishnah, Borach ad shelo nigmar dino, if he escaped before the conclusion of his case, that is, the Ben Soromor escaped, and before he's caught, he goes through this change whereby the hairs grow in. Potter, he's exempt. My taimo, why is he exempt? Lav mishum damrinan, is it not because we say hoyol the ishtani? Ishtani, since a change took place, he's considered changed and not subject anymore to the original din, to the original law and penalty. The Gemara responds and says, no, this is not a support. This is now a rejection of what was just said. Lo. Shiny hacha. The case of Ben Sormer is different. De'i ovad hashto, if he were to do the act of stealing funds to buy meat and wine now meaning after hekif hazokon lav bar katlahu, he's not subject at all to the death penalty. That's different than the case that Rabbi Hanina presented. Rabbi Hanina presented a case where if he were to do that same offense now as a converted individual, he still would be guilty. It's just that the methods and nature of punishment have changed, but the basic guilt has not changed. Whereby Rabbi Hanino's din represents a bigger chiddush, where even though if committed now there still would be guilt, he says, but since change has taken place, he will not be subject to punishment. That's different than the case of Ensoro Mora, whereby if he were to do it now, he would be totally innocent. Toshma. So we continue in analyzing Rabbi Hanina's din through Tanaic sources. We now bring in a source, and you can see with the triangle inverted, this will actually represent a challenge to Rabbi Hanina and not a support. The Mishnah said, Im mishenigmar dinoi borach, if after the court concluded and condemned the Ben Soro Mora, he then ran away, v'acharkach ikif zokon hatachton chayov, and subsequently the hairs grew in, and then he were caught again, chayav, he would be subject to the death penalty. And this is even though there has been shino, even though change has set in. The Gemara says this is not a challenge to Rabbi Hanina. Nigmar dino karmis, are you featuring a case where there had already been condemnation before hikiv zokon? Well, nigmar dino gavra ketelahu, at the point of the gemar din, he's already considered a dead man. The fact that he's biologically still alive is just a technicality in the eyes of the law. Therefore, when he's caught and we do kill him, it's really to be viewed as if he were dead already from before. Toshma. So we try again to evaluate Rabbi Hanina's din. Once again, you see the triangle is inverted, indicating a challenge to Rabbi Hanina. The source says, Ben Noach Shehiko es Chavero, a Noahite that killed his friend, Ubo al Eshes Chavero, and had intimacy with his friend's wife, Vinis Geyer, and then subsequent to these offenses he converted, Potter. He would be exempt. Also came the Israel Vinis Geyer, if the Ben Noach killed a Jew, or he had relations with the Jew's wife, and then converted, Chayov. He would still bear guilt. And we ask, V'amai, why do you say Chayov? Why not apply Rabbi Hanina's principle, Neima Hoyol V'ishtini? Why not say, since he underwent change, he should thereby become exempt? So the Gemara rejects the rejection and says, Ishtini dino umisoso bo'inan. In order for Rabbi Hanina's principle to operate, you require a double change. The change in the dino, the way the court procedure takes place, and also a change in the death penalty. The high, in this case, dinoi ishtini misoso lo ishtini. The court procedure aspect changed from before conversion to after conversion. However, the death penalty itself, the type of death penalty, has not changed. Well, let's pause and think about that. The death penalty changed or not? Well, we know that a Ben Noach before conversion is subject to death penalty through Sayyaf, through the sword. After conversion, so we have to evaluate what was the nature of the offense and then determine, has there been a change or not in the death penalty. With this in mind, the Gemara now analyzes, Bishlamo, I can understand very well, Roitzeach, the case of murder, Meikoro Saif, Vahashto Saif, where there was before the conversion, death by Saif through the sword, and now, as a converted individual, there is death by the sword, because for murder, there is a death penalty by cherev, by the sword. Ella, I don't understand the case of Eshes Ish, the case of the intimacy with the wife of a Jew. Meikara Saif, had he done that before, and in this case, of course, he did it while a Ben Noach, we say the death penalty for that offense would have been Saif. However, Vahashto Chenek, the penalty for Eshes Ish as a Jew is strangulation. And therefore, with regard to the second example in the source that we read a few lines up, the Bayes example, there in fact is Ishtini Dino and Ishtini Misoso. There's a change in the court procedure, as we mentioned earlier, and there's also a change with regard to the nature of the death penalty itself. And still it says Chayov. That is against Rabbi Hanina. And that's why, of course, we have the inverted triangle that appears just above this. The Gemara answers that the case of Bo al Eshes Yisrael is Benaro Hamurosa, the Idi V'Idi B'Skila. Idi V'Idi means a Ben Noach and a Yisrael get the same penalty. This is a sugya that we actually learned earlier in the Masechta. The concept of Na'am Rosa is something that does not exist by the B'nai Noach. This is a woman who is, we often translate her as the betrothed maiden. This is a situation where a woman is given money in anticipation of marrying her. At the point she receives the money, and if she's between 12 and 12 and a half, she's called a Nara, and she's called Mu'urasa. She is considered an Eishes Ish at that point, even though she's not a Nisua. This institution does not exist by B'nai Noach, and therefore, the B'nai Noach themselves that violate this get the Jewish penalty of skila. Therefore, as a ben Noach and as a converted Jew, there is no change in the death penalty, and that's why it remains chayav, and therefore no challenge to Rabbi Chanina's principle that said that exemption is only if, in addition to ishtana dino, there is also ishtana misoso. The Gemara asks, v'ha osa kain b'Yisrael, the expression that was in the source was this. These are the words, direct quote, and if you need to find where it's coming from, so of course you can use the arrows provided in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. The source was saying that if that which was done by Eishes Chavero, if the equivalent was done by Yisrael, now what does that mean, if the equivalent was done by Yisrael? That means it has to be something that's present by the B'nai Noach, as well, dumyo di eishes chavero kotoni, and nara murasa is not a case that appears in the realm of ben Noach. So you cannot tell me that the case of also Cain be Israel that was featured in the source is the case of nara murasa once again, because it lacks a parallel to the case of eishes chavero mentioned just before. So the question is, why is it, if we are going to be talking about a simple case of Eishes Ish, simple case of a fully married woman, and if the Ben Noach had relations, had intimacy with an Eishes Yisrael as a Ben Noach, and then converted, the source says he is still Chayev. What is the explanation for that? Because the question being, is it not so that there is a change not only in din but also in penalty? The change being in the penalty that originally he was sayef and now it's chenek. The Gemara says that true, there's an actual change, but legally it's not considered a sufficient change because chenek is a lesser type of penalty than sayef. So if beforehand he was going to get the more severe penalty and now he would get the lighter penalty, the lighter is simply considered an extension of the serious. The Gemara says elo kala the chenek b'chamura meshech shayach. The chamur means the more severe one. The lighter penalty is considered a simple continuation of the original one, and hence it doesn't constitute a change, and as a result of no change we say he's still chayev. And that is not in contradiction to Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said that if there is change, there is exemption. But here, there isn't sufficient change. So the Gemara goes on with a question, though. And that's indicated by this inverted triangle. Ha nicho, this explanation is fine, l'rabbonan, the Amri Sayef Chomor, that views the Sayef, the penalty that Ben Noach would get, as being more stringent, and hence when he converts, the penalty would be now chenek. So we can use this svara of that the lighter is a continuation of the stricter. Elo, the Rabbi Shimon, domar chenek chomor, but according to the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, that views strangulation as more severe than sayef. In other words, the strangulation penalty that he would get as a converted individual is a more stringent penalty than that which he would have received the sayef as a ben Noach, and yet the source says he is guilty. That would be a challenge to Rabbi Chanina, who said that even though there is, who said that when you see change, there is exemption. Here we see change from the lighter sayef to the more stringent chenek, according to Rabbi Shimon, and still there is guilt. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon Savar Lo Ketano Debe Menashe. The Tana Rabbi Shimon, based on whom we were asking this question, holds like another school of thought, the Tana Debe Menashe, the Omar. Their school says, Kol Misa Amuro Livnei Noach Eino Elo Chenek. As opposed to what we said before, that all death penalties to B'nai Noach are Sayef, this school of thought says all penalties that B'nai Noach receive are strangulation. And if that be the case, so then when with regard to Eishes Ish, he would be getting the same thing anyway. Namely, as a Ben Noach, he would have received Chenek, and as a converted Jew, he would receive Chenek. And as a result of that, there is no change, and as a result of that, that's why he is Chayav, and hence no question on Rabbi Chanina. As we go on in the Gemara, we see once again the inverted triangle. this will be represent a problem for Rabbi Chanina. Bishlamo, Eishes Ish. I understand, well, the case of Eishes Ish now, as opposed to a few lines up, we mentioned Bishlamo Rotzeach. Here, things are switched around, where the Eishes Ish case is understandable, namely, no challenge to Rabbi Chanina, because there is no change. Meikora Chenek, as a Ben Noach, he would receive Chenek. The Hashto Chenek, and also now as a converted Jew, the penalty for Eishes Ish is also Chenek. Ela Rotzeach, the case of Rotzeach, I don't understand. We said that had the Ben Noach originally killed a Yisrael and then converted, the source says he would be Chayav. And this would appear to be a challenge to Rabbi Chanina, because here there's total change, both on the court procedure level and also in the punishment level. Meikara as a Goy, as a Ben Noach, Chenek. We're taking the whole Reb Shimon / Tana Bei Menashe approach that says as a Ben Noach he would get Chenek. The Hashto Sayef. And now he would get the Sayef penalty, which is the penalty for murder as a Jew. And it says Chayev, and that's not like Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara says that this kind of change is not a sufficient change, because this is going within Rabbi Shimon that said that the chenek is more severe. Kala b'chamura meshach shaycha. The lesser penalty, which is sayef, which is what he gets now, is simply a continuation of the more strict penalty, the chenek that he would have received as a ben Noach. And of course, this is only according to Rabbi Shimon. And as a result of that, it's not a change in death penalty. It's simply a continuation of the original type of death penalty. Leimo misaye ale. Can we bring support to Rabbi Chanina from the following? The following describes a woman who, as a nara hamurasa, behaved immorally, and before the Gemar Din, she became an adult. Sorcha v'acharkach bogra. She, the Nara Hamurasa, behaved immorally, and then finished her Nara status. She crossed the age of 12 and a half, became a bogeres. Tidoin b'chenek. She is now going to get a new death penalty, a different death penalty. A change takes place. She's judged by chenek. Now, we point out, b'skilo maitai maloi, why is it that she doesn't get the original death penalty? In other words, the original death penalty that's given to a nar hamurasa who is prosecuted and condemned as a nar hamurasa would get skila. Why is it that in this case she doesn't get skila? Lav mishum, is it not because the hoil v'ishtani, since she underwent a change, she now became a boigeres, so the death penalty changes. V'kol shekein hocha, the ishtani l'gamri, and all the more so, like in the case of Rabbi Chanina, where there is total change, where the case of Ben Noach Shabirich is a shame, where there's a total change, not only a change in death penalty, but also in terms of court procedure. So we're trying to use the case of Sorcha V'achakach Bogra as a precedent for changes in the defendant, resulting in changes in the halacha. The Gemara rejects this as a support. Ha'omar le Rabbi Yochanan Latana. Rabbi Yochanan instructed the one teaching this particular source and said, you have to change the language of the source. The source as it is inaccurate. Tani, you should state rather, tidoin beskila. Instead of saying chenek, you should say she gets, even though she's now bogra, she still gets the original death penalty, which would then indicate that even though there was change, there is no legal application of the change, and that would be unlike what Rabbi Chanina was trying to teach. The Mishnah. Ben Sorer Umore Nidoin Al Shem Soifoi. The Ben Sorer Umore is judged according to what he eventually would become. he eventually, if we see a person practicing theft of money to buy meat and wine and doing this in a repeated fashion, he eventually is going to become a murderer. Yomus zakai va'al yomus chayev. Let him die now before becoming a murderer. Let him die. Zakai literally means innocent, but it would mean here he's innocent from the penalty, from the commission of murder, and not wait till he actually does it and can then execute him as a murderer. As we go on in the Mishnah, we also introduced a series marker, and this is explained on the side, the Nosei Mivneh. We see the double underline featured. Sidra Shel Matzavim, a series of situations. Shahano the Rishoyim, Vira the Tzadikim, that is of benefit to the evil and is negative to the righteous. We have another marking where you see an underline accompanied with a dashed underline, which will be the opposite of what we just described. Continuing in the Mishnah, Shemi Sosan Shel Rishoyim, the death of Rishoyim, Hano Lohem, Vano Le'olam, is of benefit to them, in that if they die, they don't continue sinning, and it's of benefit to the world that there's now quiet in the world, there's fewer evil, fewer Rishoyim. La Tzadikim, however, death to Tzadikim is Ra Lohen, Vara Le'olam. It is negative to them, in the sense that they would have, if they continued living, they would have increased merit, and now they can no longer increase merits. And it's negative to the world, because we know that the presence of tzaddikim, the presence of the righteous, serves as a defense for the entire generation, and with tzaddikim around, they are also able to instruct and chastise the public. With them missing, the public will sin and not be aware of their misbehavior. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yayin Vishino L'Rishoyim, wine and sleep for the wicked, Hano Lohem, Vano Le'olam, is of benefit to them and of benefit to the world. That, as we'll explain here, that as long as they are drinking wine and going to sleep, so they don't sin and hurt the public, and as a result of that, their lack of sinning is to their benefit, and their not hurting the public is of benefit to the world. The opposite, though, with regard to tzaddikim, wine and drink is wine and sleep is ra lohen v'ra lo'olam. Rashi points out the wine and subsequent sleep is bad for the tzaddikim themselves, in that they won't learn; they're not learning Torah, and it's ra lo'olam. Rashi says, second line from the bottom, v'ra lo'olam shatira shehein oiskin bo, the Torah that tzaddikim are engaged in its study, mogino al hador, is a protection for the generation. Ukshehein mizbatlin, when tzaddikim are not learning, so the defense mechanism for the generation falls, and puronus baliolam, and punishment and negative can then come upon the world. We see from this Rashi, as we see in many other places in the Torah literature, that the study of Torah is the main protection for Klal Yisrael. In other words, effectiveness of a Jewish armed forces and all the like is associated with the Torah learning level of the population. If the Torah learning level is not sufficient, then armed forces will not be sufficient and will not be able to be successful in their attempts to protect the population. Continuing in the Mishnah, Pizur L'Rishayim, dispersion of the wicked when they're not together, is Hano Lohen Vano Le'olam, is of benefit to them. They, by their being scattered, they can't consult with one another and scheme together their evil schemes, and is also, of course, benefit to the world. However, Ule Tzadikim, the dispersion of the righteous is Ra Lohen V'Ra Le'olam, does not serve them good, nor does it serve the public good. Kinus L'Rishoyim, however, togetherness when it comes to the wicked, Ra Lohen V'Ra Le'olam, Ule Tzadikim Hano Lohen V'Hano Le'olam. Sheket, quiet and peace, La Rishoyim, Ra Lohen V'Ra Le'olam, is not good for them insofar as they'll be free to sin more and more because things are going good. It's quiet and peaceful, and it's also negative to the world when there is sheket for the Rishayim. And the tzaddikim, sheket for tzaddikim is hanol lohen v'hanol le'olam. When there's sheket, the tzaddikim are able to learn. And as we saw above, that is good not only for them, but also for the entire population. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.